Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. The Reverend Dr. Paul Philp is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Evangelist St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord. Funerals have an etiquette all their own. Now, funerals having an etiquette isn't anything particularly new. They've always had particular protocols associated with them down through the centuries, some of that etiquette. And some of those protocols no doubt have changed over the course of history, with each age adding that which they believe to be appropriate according to their culture, their customs, and their ways of life. But one thing hasn't changed. Whatever the age-appropriate etiquette is for the time of the funeral, it's generally understood that it is to be followed and that it is to be respected. And when someone attending such an event deviates in some way from that proper etiquette, that proper protocol, and the established expectations, everyone else takes notice. Nobody wants to be that person at the funeral who has breached the etiquette, which makes today's text all the more startling. Luke provides us with a setting of the scene. He describes those participants who are there. There is, at the center of his description, a dead man. And that's about all we know about him. We don't know his name. We don't know his vocation. We don't know his cause of death. We don't know much of anything about him, but we do know that he's dead. And then there's his mother. We don't know her name either. In fact, we also don't know too much about her, other than that the dead man is her only son, and that she is a widow, her husband having died previously. And because we know a few things about that day and age, we also know that that means that this woman likely has little to no one to care for her and to provide for her needs, with her husband and only son now gone. And then there are mourners. Perhaps we know the least about them. They seem to be a crowd from the city. In that day and age, some may have been paid mourners, but not likely, since we're talking about a poor widow trying to bury her son. Most are probably acquaintances or those who just seem to show up for the event. And they're there doing what we would expect them to do. Then there's what's taking place itself, the dead man's body on the bier being carried out of the city. They've passed the gates of Nain, and the procession is plodding along, inching ever closer to the place where the burial will take place. In that context, death is seething all around. By all appearances, life is over, death is won. The dark procession is not one of hope and joy, but rather it is a slow, sad, and generally hopeless journey to dispose of the body. Perhaps by now, depending upon how long he's been dead, there may be a bit of a stench around the procession. Death abounds. It is into this context and into this scene that Jesus and his disciples arrive and encounter this procession on the road. Luke leaves out all the details of why Jesus happens to be coming towards Nain that day. The text simply begins with the words, "soon afterwards." If we look back, we find that it is soon after Jesus has healed the centurion's son with but a word from a distance. There is about to be a breach of etiquette. The funeral is suddenly changed. Jesus comes upon the scene and does what he would expect him to do in that day. If one has been paying attention to what Jesus has been going around and doing. But if one has not, his actions are totally unexpected. He doesn't join into the procession. There's no pious and platitudinal comments made or shared with any of the mourners. There's no effort for he and his disciples to stand off to the side and allow the procession to pass. No, he stops it dead in its tracks. And then the etiquette seems to be breached further. Upon seeing the widow mother, the text tells us that Jesus had compassion and said to her, "Do not weep." But to those standing around, seeing a widow with a dead son, hearing the words, "do not weep," certainly would have rung in their ears with a stinging inappropriateness. She was husbandless and sonless. Death was reigning. Hope for things to improve was lacking. And here was this guy telling her not to weep. Etiquette seemed breached. And then strange things happened. Jesus walked up to the bier and he touched it. Total disrespect for any of the laws of cleanliness and dead bodies in that day. Touching the dead, making him unclean. The disruption was enough, quite frankly, at that point to ruin the funeral. And then Jesus did something that no one could have imagined. He spoke. Not to the mourners, not to the widow. Not to the disciples or anyone else in the crowd. He spoke to the dead man. Not only might this have seemed a breach of etiquette, but no doubt in the minds of most, it made them wonder whether this fellow was some sort of crazy person who was speaking to a corpse. A corpse that they were in a hurry to get in the ground so that they could move on with their day and their lives. You see, Jesus' funeral etiquette is quite different. No funeral proceeds to its end when Jesus is present. No funeral ends with death when Jesus is there. No funeral leads to a hopeless hole in the ground when Jesus is present. No, Jesus has a different funeral etiquette, a divine funeral etiquette. And it was on full display that day outside the gates of Nain along the road when he encountered this procession. When Jesus spoke to the dead man not only heard him, but he listened and obeyed the command. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, arise," and immediately he arose. He was alive. The funeral was over. Death was stopped by life. Death isn't a natural part of life. It isn't supposed to happen. It's the terrible and ugly result of our sin. The result of life having been set aside in favor of sin and death by sins transgressed down through the ages. It is the wages of sin, the punishment for transgression of God's holy law. It's not natural. But it is, since the fall, assured for all of creation. You and I are no different than this man outside of Nain that day in our text. Like him, on the day of our text, and someday in the future after the day of our text again, when he again died, we too will lie dead. There will be those who are carrying our earthly remains to a hole in the ground outside some other city gate. Life will have escaped us, just as it had escaped him and his father before him. Death will appear to be reigning all around. Mourners may or may not be present. No matter, we'll be dead and we won't know. And our lifeless body will be set to be disposed of according to the custom of our day. And like the young man, we too will be completely unable to do anything about it. We will have earned the wages of our sin. We can't prevent it. We can't make it not happen. We can't undo it once it has happened. And it is what we deserve as a result of our sin. But thanks be to God that the same Jesus in our text has stopped our death dead in its tracks too. The funeral at Nain was not the only funeral where funeral etiquette was breached. He came and he took the place of sinners in death, suffering the full weight and wrath of God on the cross for the sins of all mankind. The young man at Nain, his father before him, his mother, your sins, my sins, the sins of all. And having suffered the punishment for those sins, he, Jesus the Christ, like this man, was dead. Burial customs of the day took over that day too. They quickly removed his body from the tree of the cross, lifeless and dead, and hastily carried it to a tomb. They might get it buried before sundown and the Sabbath, with the remainder of the customs to be finished at a later date. But the funeral etiquette at Jesus' funeral was breached also. Divine funeral etiquette set in there too. Once again, he stopped death dead in its tracks. This time he spoke not a word, but he, the word, became flesh, arose himself from the dead. His funeral was ruined, and with him the funerals of all who fall asleep in the faith. For he is and remains and forever shall be alive, the first fruits of those that have died. Death was defeated by life that day too. Death lay defeated, never to reign again. So also, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, shall your funeral be ruined. Oh, you and I may be put in a box and lowered into the ground, but that won't be the end of the story. Death won't have the last word. Death will lay defeated by life at our graves also. The same Jesus who spoke a resurrection word of life to the young man outside of Nain shall speak the same to you. And when he does, you too will arise, never to die again. You will rise to glory in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Your funeral will be forever ruined. Jesus' divine funeral etiquette will never again be questioned, for there will be no more death and no more dying, only life. And what's more, it's already happened. In the font, you lay dead and buried in a watery grave, and from those waters Christ raised you, redeemed, restored, and forgiven. He ruined death and your funeral right in that watery font. And so, though one day open wide your grave will be staring, it is no matter, for we together can confess that we are baptized into Christ. Funerals have an etiquette all their own. And down through the centuries, it's changed a bit, but one thing has not. There is a death that precedes the funeral. At Nain, at the empty tomb, at your baptism, and one day at your grave, those deaths will be undone. The funeral etiquette of a dead world will be forever changed. It's our funeral etiquette that's flawed. It's what needs to be changed and breached. For death breached the etiquette of life in sin, and in Christ has life destroyed that death. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Michael and Karen Schempf, who serve the Lord in Uganda. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.